Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bring from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, chapter entitled Description of the Varnashram System, text number 41. Pratigraham,
Pratigraham
Manyamanas,
Manyamanas
Tapastejo,
Tapastejo
Yashonudam,
Yashonudam
Anyabhyam,
Anyabhyam
Eva.
Eva
Jiveta
Jiveta
Shilayar
Shilayar
Va
Va
Dosha Durik
Dosha Durik
Te Tay sorry Tayoho
Tayoho
Pratigraham Manyamanas
Pratigraham Manyamanas
Tapastejo Yashonudam
Tapastejo Yashonudam
Anyabhyam eva jiveta
Anyabhyam eva jiveta
Shilayar va dosha driktayoho
Shilayar va dosha driktayoho
Pratigraham manyamanas
Pratigraham manyamanas
Tapastejo yashonudam
Tapastejo yashonudam
Anyabhyam eva jiveta Shilayar va dosha drikitayoho Pratigraham Accepting charity Manyamana Considering
Tapa
Of one's austerity
Teja
Spiritual influence.
Yasha
and fame.
Nudam.
Destruction.
Anyabhyam.
By the other two.
Teaching Vedic knowledge.
And performing sacrifice.
Eva.
Indeed.
Jiveta.
A Brahmana should live.
Shilai.
By collecting rejected grains in the field.
Va.
Or.
Dosha.
The discrepancy.
Durik.
Seeing.
Tayoho.
Of these two. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. A Brahmana who considers that accepting charity from others will destroy his austerity, spiritual influence, and fame should maintain himself by the other two Brahminical occupations, namely teaching Vedic knowledge and performing sacrifice. If the Brahmana considers that those two occupations also compromise his spiritual position, then he should collect rejected grains in agricultural fields and live without any dependence on others. Translation responsibly. A Brahmana who considers that accepting charity from others will destroy his austerity, spiritual influence, and fame. Should maintain himself by the other two Brahminical occupations. Namely, teaching Vedic knowledge and performing sacrifice. If the Brahmana considers that those two occupations also compromise his spiritual position, then he should collect rejected grains in agricultural fields. and live without any dependence on others. Purple. A pure devotee of the Lord should always remember that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will personally take care of him, as the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita 9.22, Ananyash Chintiyanto Mam Ye Jana Payu Pasate Tesham Nicha Biyuktanam Yogashemam Vaham Yaham. By those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. A brahmana should become a professional beggar for his personal maintenance. In India, there are many so-called brahmanas who sit at the gates of important temples and beg from everyone who comes and goes. If someone does not give a donation, they become angry and chase the person. Similarly, in America, there are many big preachers who collect huge amounts of money by begging on television and radio. If a Brahmana or Vaishnava considers that being a professional beggar is weakening his austerity, destroying his spiritual influence, and giving him a bad reputation, then he should give up that process. One may beg everyone to contribute to the cause of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but one will be diminished in austerity, influence, and reputation by begging for one's personal livelihood. A brahmana may then take up the task of teaching Vedic knowledge and performing sacrifice. But even such occupations do not bring one to the highest platform of trust in God. A brahmana who teaches as a means of livelihood may often be curbed in his teaching, and one who performs sacrifice may be manipulated by materialistic worshippers. In this way, a brahmana may be placed in an embarrassing and compromised position. Therefore, a high-class brahmana or Vaishnava ultimately will depend completely on the mercy of the Lord for his maintenance. The Lord promises to maintain his devotee, and an advanced devotee never doubts the word of the Lord. Omigyan timirandasya vidinanjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam vidati swa padantikam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha pititanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Rama Hare Hare. So it is described that there are six occupations for a brahmana. He may study the Vedas and teach the Vedas. He may perform sacrifice and teach others how to perform sacrifice. And he may accept charity, and then he may give in charity. So these six occupations are for brahmanas. A brahmana accepts charity. He lives upon charity. Otherwise, he becomes compromised in his spiritual teachings. Prabhupada explains that as soon as you accept a salary for your teaching, especially spiritual knowledge, then you could become controlled by those who give you the salary, by those who give you the money. And then you cannot speak the truth. A brahmana is one who speaks the truth without fear. And therefore, he has potency. Therefore, a saintly person is known as sadhu. Sadhu means one who cuts. His words are very piercing, very exact. He will speak according to the truth, whether it is palatable or unpalatable. He will tell you what you need to hear. Just like when the guru deals with the disciple, then he speaks according to what the disciple needs to hear, even though it may not be palatable. The disciple may not be enjoying the chastisements of the guru, but he is being purified by his words, by his potency. So the Brahmana does not compromise his words. He speaks the truth, what needs to be heard. He is not worried about popular popularity. He's not worried about what he is saying, whether or not it is necessarily the most pleasing thing. He will speak what needs to be heard. He does not compromise. That is Brahminical culture. So, the Brahmana, he will simply speak the truth. So therefore he does not accept charity. He does not accept a salary, but he lives in charity. Whatever is given to him. The system is, in the Vedic culture, is that when we receive any spiritual knowledge or any service from a Brahmana, then we give dakshina. You must give dakshina. This is the system. Just like whenever the spiritual master comes, you must give dakshina. Whenever the Brahmana offers you any service, performs jagya for you, or gives you spiritual knowledge, you must give dakshina. You must give something in charity. And this is how the Brahmana lives. He receives charity, distributes charity. Because the Brahmana by nature is austere. He is renounced. Brahmanas are not attached to this material world. If you are attached to this material world, then you're not a Brahmana. Because a Brahmana is not attached to this world. He does not have material attachment. Therefore, he is renounced. Therefore, he cannot be swayed by material influence. Simply, he speaks the truth according to what needs to be said. It is said that the tapasya, or austerity, is the wealth of the Brahmana. A Brahmana's potency is his austerity. He doesn't have attachment to this world. He performs austerity. So therefore, if he receives more charity than he requires, then he distributes that charity. Right? That is Brahminical life. That is Brahminical culture. Not that he is keeping or hoarding or stashing his wealth. If you are stashing your wealth, then you are not a Brahmana. Then you are probably a Vaishya or Shudra. Like that. Now, the Brahmana does not keep more than necessary. If we want to live a Brahminical life, especially if you're a Brahmachari or a Brahmacharini, then you have to keep all of your possessions to a minimum. You do not accumulate too much and become too attached unnecessarily. This is not Brahminical life. Brahminical life means simplicity. Keep everything very simple. Like that. And only keep what is necessary. Just like it is said that a Brahmachari has three bags. What are his three bags for the Brahmachari or the Brahmacharini? Sleeping bag? Japa bag? Book bag. That's all you need is a Brahmachari or a Brahmacharini. Your japa bag? Sleeping bag, right? And book bag. All day, Prabhupada says that the Brahmachari, the Brahmacharini, they do so much service for Krishna that as soon as they put their head on the pillow, they immediately fall asleep. Immediately fall asleep and then wake up in the morning and then serve Krishna once again. Is it like that? pretty much. What's that? Before he didn't kill him. That is even more advanced. Head has not even touched the pillow yet and one is already asleep. Prabhupada says that the Brahmachari, the Brahmacharini, goes to sleep chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. That's it. That is brahmachari life. That is brahmacharini life. Like that. This is the Melbourne earthquake. For those who are listening on the radio, there is an earthquake at the moment. So it seems like it's passed. Okay. So this is brahminical life. Brahminical life means austerity, tapasya, means simplicity. So you receive in charity. You live by charity. When you live by charity, then you are dependent on Krishna. Because whatever comes, that will come. Right? If nothing comes, then right, then you accept that. It describes when it is spoken about the Dharma of a Brahmachari. It says that if the Guru forgets to call the Brahmachari or the Brahmacharini to take prasadam, then they fast. Right? If the Guru does not say, come and take prasad, then they fast. Right? Fully dependent on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Right? That is brahminical life. One lives in simplicity. He lives on charity. Whatever charity one receives, then he accepts that. If there's too much, then he distributes that, detached. Not that he becomes attached. Oh, someone gave me a gold watch. Now I'm very attached to my gold watch. Srila Prabhupada, one time a devotee gave him a watch. The devotee said, Prabhupada, here's a watch. Prabhupada took off his watch, the one he was wearing, took it off, and gave it to that devotee. He accepted that gift in charity, said, thank you very much. Received that gift in charity, and immediately, because now he doesn't need two watches, so then the one he was wearing, then he gave that to that devotee, distributed in charity. That is a brahmana, detached from this world. And whenever that devotee, whenever Prabhupada saw that devotee in the future, Prabhupada would always say, how is your watch going? And the devotee would say, oh, very good, Prabhupada, how is your watch? And he'd say, very good. That's a brahmana, detached. Not that I need to wear a gold watch, Rolex watch, or Lacoste t-shirt with a little alligator. Now I am very pucker. Or Nike shoes. Got to have a little swoosh. Or I have the IBM computer. Or the Birkenstock shoes. Or the Samsonite suitcase. We get attached to all the different things in this material world. This is just material attachment. This is not brahminical culture. Brahminical culture means detachment, vairagya. This is a symptom of brahminical life. One is detached. So he receives charity and then he distributes charity. That is brahminical life. Then it is said that he performs jagya and he teaches other how to do jagya. This is brahminical life. What does jagya mean? Sacrifice. Sacrifice for who? For Krishna, right? It must be for Vishnu, for Krishna. Right? This is the purpose of jagya. The purpose of sacrifice is to satisfy the Lord. Right? Everything that a devotee does is jagya. It is sacrifice. Everything that a Vaishnava does, everything that a Brahmana does is jagya. It is sacrifice. It is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. That is what it means, Brahmana, Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman is spirit. Right? A Brahmana is one who has realized he is spirit. That is Brahman. Brahmachari means one, or Brahmacharini. Brahmachari means one who is wandering within spirit. Right? One who is spiritually placed. Right? That is the position of a Brahmana. A Brahmana is spiritually placed. So everything he does is for the satisfaction of Krishna. It is jagya, sacrifice. We do not do things for our own sense gratification. That is not brahminical culture. That is not the life of a devotee. A devotee does not worry about himself. We're not worried about ourselves. We're not selfish. Right? We are worried about serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. And what is the best way to please Krishna? To preach. That is the best way to please Krishna. Right? To spread Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls. Right? Which guru from India understood this principle more than any other guru? So many gurus have come from India, but who understood this principle the most? Srila Prabhupada. Right? Topmost devotee, Paramahamsa, Vaishnava Thakur. Right? Why is he the topmost devotee? Because Srila Prabhupada understands Krishna's heart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart, to give Krishna consciousness to all the conditioned souls in the universe. Right? That is Brahminical life. That is the topmost Brahminical platform. Not thinking about oneself. Not worried about oneself. Only concern are the conditioned souls becoming Krishna conscious. That is Brahminical life. You don't have to worry about yourself. You'll automatically be happy. Sometimes devotees become too preoccupied with their own problems. Oh, I have this problem and I have that problem and I have this problem. Right? The best way to solve your problems is to start to worry about everyone else's problems. Right? Don't worry about your problems. Worry about the conditioned souls who are suffering. Right? Then you will forget your problems, which are insignificant in any case, and then you can become liberated. Jivan Mukta. Right? You become a liberated soul. Right? All of your suffering, it dissipates, it disappears. Right? And you receive unlimited bliss. Anandam Buddhi Varadhanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it is an ocean of bliss spreading this Sankirtan movement. Trying to give Krishna to others. If you want to stay a devotee for a long time, this is the secret. Right? How many senior devotees do we see sitting here? Right? How many devotees have been devotees for many, many, many years? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. If you want to be a devotee for a long time, you must understand this secret. To remain enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, you must constantly be giving Krishna to others. Then you will always be enthusiastic. You will never lose your taste. Right? Sometimes devotees, they lose their taste. Why are you losing your taste? Because you're not preaching enough. You've just become worried about your own little existence. Selfish. No. The whole purpose of your existence is to give Krishna to others. That was Prabhupada's only activity. Giving Krishna to others. And those who dedicate their life to also serving Krishna in this way, they will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. You're already liberated. Just like I told the story last night in the Bhakti Vaibhav course, that the some of Prabhupada's disciples, they went to one of the famous temples in Vrindavan, and the pujari was worshipping the deity during the aarti. And then after the aarti, the pujari, he came to Prabhupada's disciples and he said, if you are very fortunate, if you keep chanting Hare Krishna and serving in ISKCON, in your next lifetime, you can take birth in Vrindavan and you can worship the deity. So they went back to Prabhupada, the disciples went back to Prabhupada and they told Prabhupada what he said. And Prabhupada said, you can go back to him and you can tell him, if he keeps worshipping the deity in Vrindavan, in his next lifetime, he can take birth in America and become a book distributor in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada ki. So what is higher? What is higher? Right? Giving Krishna consciousness to others. That is the highest. That is the topmost. Being a member of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, there is nothing higher. There is nothing higher. This is the end of the road. After millions of lifetimes, now you are a member of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Do not waste this opportunity. Prabhupada said, give one life. One life. Just give everything to Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada says, whatever you are lacking at the time of death, Lord Chaitanya will cover that and he will take you back to Godhead. That is the potency. No other acharya, no other guru can give that promise, that guarantee. Srila Prabhupada can. That is the potency. So how fortunate are we? So this is Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture means you must teach others how to perform sacrifice. A Brahmana performs sacrifice, yogya, and he teaches others how to do yogya. Right? He is engaged, his whole life is a sacrifice for the satisfaction of Krishna. Right? And he teaches others how to also do that sacrifice. Traditionally speaking, he teaches them how to do yogya, how to do the fire sacrifice. Right? So he does it himself, he teaches others. This is how to worship the Lord. Right? Now, we do yogya, also in ISKCON, we do yogya, but primarily we worship the deity. So we teach devotees, the brahmana as devotees, we worship the deity, and we teach other devotees how to worship the deity properly. Right? You have to learn the brahminical standard of worshipping the deities. Now, what are the two most important things which Prabhupada emphasized in worshipping the deities? Cleanliness and punctuality. Right? You must be on time. Right? When you're worshipping the deity. Did you ever see Prabhupada running across the courtyard? You ever saw Prabhupada running anywhere? No, Prabhupada was always on time. Always on time. Always on time. Right? This is brahminical life. Just like one time Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and to greet the deities at 7 o'clock and the devotees opened the curtains 1 minute late. And Prabhupada said it is very difficult to be a brahmana in Kali Yuga. 1 minute late. One time Prabhupada was in India sitting there. He would have lunch at 12 o'clock. Right? 12 o'clock precisely. And the Mataji, one of his disciples who was cooking his lunch, she came in 3 minutes late. And when she walked in, Prabhupada was looking at the door. Right? And she walked in and Prabhupada said, I've been waiting for 12 years. She was 3 minutes late. Prabhupada said, I've been waiting for 12 years. That was Prabhupada. So precise, so precise, so punctual. This is brahminical life. Punctuality. Not running here, running there, doing this, doing that. No. This brahminical life means you must be punctual. You're serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should be on time. Have you got something more important to do? You should be on time. When we greet the deities in the morning at 7 o'clock, we should be here before the curtains open. Right? So when the curtains open, Krishna sees, oh, everyone's there. Not that everyone's running in and, you know, like, last minute mad rush to make it. No, no, everyone should be waiting. Right? Have you got something more important to do than to be on time for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Right? This is brahminical life. There's punctuality. And the other thing that Prabhupada emphasized was cleanliness. You have to learn what is cleanliness. You have to be clean. This is brahminical life. A brahmana is suci. Suci means clean. Prabhupada said the brahmana washes his hands even after he drinks water. A brahmana drinks water, right? Doesn't even touch the glass to his lips when he's finished. Right? Then he washes his hand. Purity. Right? Because if you practice external cleanliness, you'll also have internal cleanliness. If you're not clean externally, you'll never be clean internally. So you have to learn what is cleanliness. Prabhupada was very strict on cleanliness. Just like Harisori Prabhu, he said that he was serving Prabhupada prasadam, and then after Prabhupada took prasadam, then he was taking prasadam. And then Srila Prabhupada walked through the room where he was taking prasadam. And he was taking prasad, and his left hand was on his knee, like on his cloth, like that. Not you know, your right hand that you're using to eat, so you wouldn't put that, but left hand was there. Prabhupada walked in, Prabhupada said, malecha. Unclean. Even your left hand should not be touching your cloth while you're taking prasad. Right? Such a high, high, high standard of cleanliness. Right? So this, we have to understand these things. We have to learn these things. Prabhupada taught us how to be clean. What is cleanliness? If you want to worship the deity, you must learn what is cleanliness. There are different rules and regulations. You must understand. Right? If you do not learn these things, you will offend the deity. So Brahminical life means you have to learn these things, cleanliness and punctuality. So a Brahmana, he accepts charity, he gives charity, right? He performs sacrifice, he trains others to perform sacrifice. And then Prabhupada says, most importantly, he studies the Vedas and he teaches others the Vedas. This is the most important activity of the Brahmana. Most important activity is you must study. If you're a brahmachari or a brahmacharini, then your main business, right, in that ashram is to cultivate vidya. Vidya means knowledge. Right? You must become learned. Right? Because I can speak from experience, I can tell you that when you get married, you don't have as much time. Because that's the nature of Grihastha ashram, you have less time. So therefore, if you are a brahmachari, if you're a brahmacharini, if you are single, you must take advantage of this opportunity to study Prabhupada's books. That is the purpose of your ashram, to become learned, to study Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada said, I wrote these books for my devotees first, for my disciples first, then for the general public. You must learn Prabhupada's books. Right? And then you can become qualified to preach. Otherwise, what will you say? You sit down and you give a lecture, what will you say? You would just speculate. Therefore, you must know. Prabhupada said, you must know his books as well as the Christians know the Bible, as well as the lawyer knows the law books. We should be able to say, in Bhagavad Gita it says, in chapter 4, verse 34, what does it say? Tadvini pranipatena. In Bhagavad Gita 18:66, what does it say? Savadaman parijaja. Okay. In Bhagavad Gita 18:55, what does it say? No, that's 65. Like that. Brahmabhuta prasanatma na sochiti na kanchiti. Right? In Bhagavad Gita 2:14, what does it say? Machaspasha stukanteya. You have to know all these things. Right? This is a Brahmana. Right? He studies the Vedas and he teaches others the Vedas. Right? You have to become a learned personality. Right? Then your preaching will have potency. This is the most important principle of the Brahmana. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is meant to create a society of Brahmanas. Devotees who become very learned in the Shastra and then can teach others. Because what is the one thing which is missing in this material world? Yeah, Krishna consciousness. Now, people are not Krishna conscious. Therefore, what do they need? Krishna consciousness. So you have to learn Prabhupada's books. You have to study Prabhupada's books. So then you can teach others Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, what will you teach them? You'll simply speculate. You'll not be able to give them anything bona fide. Yeah? You'll not be able to give them anything which will assist them in changing their lives. So you have to become learned in this science. Right? So this is Brahminical culture. Now, it says in the purport that a pure devotee of the Lord should always remember that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will personally take care of him. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, for those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. This is bhakti. Right. Bhagavad Gita is divided into three sections. What are the three sections of the Gita? Yeah, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Right. First six chapters. Right. Karma Yoga. Right. Second six chapters. Bhakti Yoga. Third six chapters. Jnana Yoga. Roughly, this is the division. First chapter is just an introduction. Chapter 1 is just an introduction. It is the description of the battlefield. Chapter 2 is an overview or a summary of the entire what is to come. Right? That is chapter 2. Chapter 3 through 6, this is Karma Yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. Right? Chapter 7 to 12, this is Bhakti Yoga, serving Krishna with bhakti, with devotion. Right? Chapter 13 to 17, this is Jnana Yoga. Right? And chapter 18 It is explained there is nothing new in chapter 18. It is a summary of everything which was said. It is the overview of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So, this is... it is explained that bhakti is kept in the middle. Right? It is guarded on either side by karma and jnana. But bhakti is kept in the middle. It is the most intimate. It is the rahasya, or the secret. Right? So, especially of the entire Bhagavad Gita, right, chapter 9... and the beginning of chapter 10, that is the most intimate part of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? That is the deepest secret. Krishna's deepest secrets are within chapter 9 and the beginning of chapter 10. So this verse is in chapter 9, which is being quoted here. This is the secret of the Gita. Krishna says, you just serve me, you just meditate on my form. I will carry what you lack, I will preserve what you have. That is bhakti. A devotee understands, I will just serve Krishna to the best of my ability. He will carry what I lack, because obviously I lack. Obviously I am imperfect. Obviously I make mistakes. Obviously my service is not to a high enough standard. But he will carry whatever I am lacking. And he will preserve what I have. He will maintain me. He will look after me. This is bhakti. This is sharanagati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sharanagati, Sharana. Krishna says, Mam ekam, Sharana Vrajam. Sharana means surrender, Sharanagati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes there are six principles of Sharanagati. Huh? Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my protector. Right? One must abandon everything which is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness and accept everything which is favorable. Atma Nivedana means one must surrender give one's very life to Krishna, and one must be humble. These are the six principles of Sharanagati, or surrender to Krishna. Krishna is my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. This is how a devotee feels. A devotee feels surrender to Krishna. Krishna will maintain me. Hands up if you've ever been hungry since you joined the Hare Krishna movement. I haven't been hungry for 20 years. Why? Because Krishna maintains us. We never think, oh, what will I eat? No, Krishna always says, here's prasadam, here's prasadam. Right? I will maintain you. Right? Always you have a place to sleep. Always you have some clothes to wear. Always you have some prasadam. Always you have some service. Krishna says, I will maintain you. Right? You just surrender to me. I will take care of everything. This is bhakti. This is devotion. This is surrender. So a devotee is not concerned about his material position. We do not have to be in anxiety. Of course we do get in anxiety. Right? As devotees we get in anxiety. Or what will happen in my future? Will I have enough? No, we get in anxiety. But factually speaking, there is no need for anxiety. Krishna will maintain you. He's not in anxiety. No? Have you ever seen a picture of Krishna in anxiety? Sometimes he's in anxiety. And when he cannot find Radharani after the rasa dance, then he's in anxiety. And then he sits down under a tree and he cries. And he says, Radhi, 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 Radhi. Sometimes he gets in anxiety. Generally, he's not in anxiety. We get in anxiety because we don't have complete faith in him. Prabhupada got on a boat in 1965 in Calcutta, the Jalagutta, and went across the Atlantic Ocean with $8 and a trunk full of books and arrived in New York City. Right? With no anxiety. Right? That is bhakti. Krishna will look after you. Right? We don't have to have fear. We don't. Prabhupada's name is Abhay. Abhay means fearless. Charanara of Indra, at the lotus feet of Krishna, there is no fear. Why? Because Krishna will maintain us. That is the faith a devotee has. Krishna will look after us. Just like Prabhupada said, he was sitting one time and he said, in the beginning, I had no disciples, no books, no temples. And he said, I had no anxiety. He said, now I have thousands of disciples, millions of books, and hundreds of temples, and still I have no anxiety. That is a pure devotee. Pure devotee does not have anxiety. Why? Because he understands Krishna is doing everything. We are simply the instrument. Krishna does everything. We don't do anything. We always get proud and say, oh, I did this. I led the kirtan. I cooked the offering. I made the garland. I made the devotees. I gave the class. You didn't do anything. You were just the instrument. We give a class. What are we speaking? Everything we're speaking is what Prabhupada said. Everything we're speaking is what Krishna said. So why are you puffed up? Why do you think you're such a good preacher? Right? You don't even know anything. Everything you're saying is just what you learned. It's not even your knowledge. Did you write the Bhagavad Gita? No? Did you write it? Did you speak the Bhagavad Gita? So why are you so puffed up? Dehinosminyata dehe kamaram yavanam jira. Right? You sit there and you say all the shlokas. Oh, I am Maha Pandit. I know all the shlokas. I know all the Gita like that. What do you know? You just memorize something. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? I am remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. Right? If you remember, if you can remember, that's Krishna is giving you that ability. And Krishna can take it away as well. Just like sometimes when you're giving class, you become puffed up. You're giving class and everyone's really listening to the class. And then you start to think in your mind, think, wow, I'm a really powerful preacher. Like that. And then suddenly what you're saying, it just all disappears out of your mind. Krishna says, oh, you think you're smart. Takes a while and then you go. Become a little bit humble. And then Krishna says, okay, puts it back in. So a devotee. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here tonight? Did it happen to you? Once or twice? So this is, devotee understands, bhakti means I'm dependent on Krishna. That is bhakti. Right? When you think I'm dependent on me, right, that is not bhakti. That is material consciousness. That's what got us here in the first place. That's what keeps you bound in the material world. But you must understand. Right? Krishna says, I am the ability in man. Right? I am the ability. It comes from me. You can do something good, that comes from me. Right? And if you become proud, then Krishna takes it away. Okay, so this is Brahminical life. Brahminical life means one practices these six types of activities. He gives in charity, he receives in charity. Yeah. He performs sacrifice, he teaches others, and most importantly, he preaches, right, and he teaches others. He studies himself and he teaches others. This is Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture means to be completely dependent on Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada says that ISKCON is meant to create Brahmanas, those who are completely dependent upon Krishna, pure devotees. Right? Because if we become pure devotees, right, the whole world will change. One pure devotee changed the entire planet. Right. So any one of us become a pure devotee, that is powerful. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. The question is, why is it that if we're meant to, Brahmanas are meant to just receive charity for jagya, why is it that we charge a set amount when we perform jagyas at the temple? Mainly because in Kali Yuga people are not so cultured like that, so they may not give so much. And you see people who are not so advanced in Krishna consciousness, they could put 50 cents in the hundi. Yeah, 50 cents or $1, $2, that is not culture. Culture means you have to give something substantial to Krishna. Like that. So therefore, in order to be practical, we have to train people. Then you have to give something like this. This is appropriate. This is what you should give to Krishna. This much. And if you want to give more, then give more. What's the problem? Just like Srila Prabhupada, he met the think it was the captain of the police force in Detroit, I think it was, in America. And he was discussing with Prabhupada, and he was saying, you know, there's a drug problem in America now, young people taking too many drugs. So then Prabhupada said, then we can cure this problem, we can solve this problem. And Prabhupada said to him, because there was a building across the road which was owned by the police force, Prabhupada said, you give us that building. Give us that building, right? And then we will run a program for you and we will get them all off drugs. Like that. And they did not give the building. But Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada would always ask wherever he went. You know, he would say, give us the building. When they brought the Fisher Mansion, I think that's in Detroit also, in America, then that we brought the Fisher Mansion, one huge... Ambarish Prabhu, who was Alfred Ford, Henry Ford's grandson, he brought this huge mansion in America. And Prabhupada said when we got it, he said, this is even better than Bhaktivedanta Manor. He said, this is our best temple at that time in ISKCON.
Detroit.
So there's a big, big temple, big mansion that he brought. So when Prabhupada met the real estate agent, the man who was selling us the mansion, Prabhupada said, you should give it to us. The man was like, give it. Yeah. The man had come to work out how much we should pay for it. Prabhupada said, you should give it to us. And actually, the man should give it to us. Why? Because this is Krishna's. Everything belongs to Krishna. So then, we have to say to people, okay, you have to give this much. This is what you should give to Krishna. If you give more, that's better. Just like at the farm, then... Sometimes people, like we have a group of people coming to stay in a few weeks, so we charge like around about $40-$45 a night for each person to come and stay. So then there's a group of about 30 people coming, so it means a few thousand dollars, like that. So then the man was saying to me that, you know, can you give us some discount? And I said to him that actually you should give more. Don't worry about discount. I said, actually, you should give more, because you should understand you're giving this to Krishna. This is not a material thing. It's not like in business world you say, oh, give me discount and all this. No, you should give more. You should have this spirit of giving. We have to train people to give to Krishna, because people are very attached to their money, very attached. So we say, okay, you give 151 or whatever we say like that, because this will make you detached. It says in the 18th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, when you give charity, it purifies even the great souls. Right? So we should give charity, because it cleanses the heart, cleanses the consciousness. It makes you feel very light and very... it gives you a very satisfying feeling to give charity. Because then you realize, nothing belongs to me anyway. This, everything I have, just Krishna gave it to me, and then you give it. Like that. And what do we have to give anyway? Just like you offer the flame, you offer a little ghee lamp to the sun. Right? The sun has already got so much fire. You're just offering this little bit. What is it? Nothing. So when you give something to Krishna, what are you giving to Krishna? You're not giving him anything anyway, because it belongs to him anyway. But just like the little boy, he buys a tie for his father, right, on Father's Day, and he gives it to his father. His father gave him the money. Right? Nothing came from the son anyway. The only thing that came was the bhakti or the love. Right? And the father says, thank you very much, because the feeling was there. So Krishna, he says, thank you very much. So we have to train people to give to Krishna, because then they will learn what is bhakti. Like that. Nice question. Any other question or comment? Yes, sir.
Sometimes the focus changes sometimes in terms of making sure you get enough lunching and cover bringing up. So usually you ask for more, usually there's always less than what you ask for in terms of books. So sometimes the focus changes from giving a book to getting some more lunching. But that's sort of thing, how do you, what should be the focus?
Yeah, so when you're doing book distribution, there's a difference between book distribution and transcendental book distribution. Transcendental book distribution means your consciousness is just trying to save the conditioned souls, give them spiritual knowledge, give them Prabhupada's books. When you're in that consciousness, you always get enough. They give more. But when you're in material consciousness, that's just book distribution. Then you're thinking, okay, I'll give you this book, it costs this much, you give me that much. And then you become an anxiety, they become an anxiety. But when you're in transcendental consciousness, and you do transcendental book distribution, your meditation is, I want to save these conditioned souls. I want to give them Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada, please help me give these books. And then, you never come back with not enough. You always get double BB2 price and more. When I used to distribute books, then I'd give someone like a hardback Bhagavad Gita, for example. And people say, how much does it cost? I say, most people give 20. I said, if you're rich, give 50. And just look them in the eye and just say, and then they'll give whatever they feel inspired. But if they see you're detached and you're enlivened and you're ecstatic, then they'll just... When you're ecstatic in book distribution, everyone gives. You don't even have to. I remember I went to Tasmania one time and the books were just jumping out of the box. I had the box sitting next to me and I was just walking over and I'd just walk over and I'd just give someone a book and they'd say how much, and they'd just give me the money, and then I'd give that person a book and they'd say how much, and they'd give me the money. And they were just jumping out of the box. I was just walking over and picking them up and just taking them over and just like this. And then I realized nothing to do with me. Right? All I have to do is just be in transcendental consciousness. I just have to be ecstatic, blissful in my service. Prabhupada actually said they don't buy the book, they buy you. If they say, oh, this person is very blissful, right? There must be something in this. Then they say, how much? How much do you like to give? Most people give 20. If you're rich, you give 50. No problem. Oh, then people, they just give. So. Any other question or comment? No. One accepts everything favorable and rejects everything unfavorable. Accepts Krishna as the maintainer, Krishna as the protector, humility, one is humble, and one is a soul surrendered to Krishna. Yeah, like that. So if you read in Bhagavad Gita 1866 in purport, then Prabhupada describes. Like that. Any other question or comment?
So what is the sequence of yoga distribution?
Sequence of what?
Sequence of yoga system.
Of the yoga system?
Yeah.
Not sure I understand what you are.
Karma yoga, then jnana yoga, then bhakti yoga.
Technically speaking, there's different levels. It may take a little time to explain it. Like that, we don't have enough time now. But you know the yoga ladder? What's that? It means karma. Sakama, Nishkama, like that, and then up to Bhakti, like that. So you know that system. So you can ask the boys, they can explain it to you. Like that. It takes a little bit of time. We don't have enough time now. Another class. Like that. It takes a whole class to explain it. So, any other points? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.